This is Twit.
Let's go ahead and jump in this week's Bites. Now, we've talked about municipal broadband in the past and all of its advantages that come along with it. Well, a new bill might actually ban municipal broadband in Ohio. Very interesting. What's going on here, Cheaper?
Well, what's got everybody with their knickers in a twist, shall we say, is that the bill is saying that a 10 megabit per second link is considered good enough. And we all know that 10 meg means with overhead and all that other stuff, that's barely enough for a Zoom link to stay stable. Well, anyway, Ohio's legislature, in this case the Senate specifically, is saying, no, we know better. That's perfectly good. I could actually hear people like Mo, our co-host Heather Williams, actually starting to throw things around when she listens to this, because she's a firm believer that that's not true. And we have some friends that work for the Ohio courts that would probably start throwing things too. Anyway, this article from Ars Technica talks about the Ohio Senate on June 9th approving a budget bill that contains an anti-municipal broadband amendment. Now, thankfully, it's not a done deal yet, and advocates for public networks are urging the legislature to strip the amendment from the final budget. So this is basically someone put a rider on something that's critical. But anyway, if passed, the proposed law could kill existing broadband services and prevent new ones from being deployed. There are reportedly 30 or more municipal broadband providers in Ohio that would not be allowed to operate so long as there is a private sector company operating in the area, as there are in most cities. So basically, even if it's a really, really old, you know, first generation DSL, as long as it can provide at least 10 meg per second, they can push out community broadband. Now, we've had several community broadband people on the show over the years, and almost in every single case, the service quality skyrocketed. And in many cases, it also encouraged the incumbent ISPs to clean up their act. And that's what I keep hearing. When I was at the Wireless Internet Service Provider Conference before the pandemic, lots of people were saying that what it really took was just about anyone going in, community or otherwise, and actually give these big ISPs competition. And so let's see what happens. Now, interestingly enough, what has been made clear is that Cleveland, one of the larger cities in Ohio, has also said flat out, if it's enacted, we're going to sue. Now, lots and lots of stuff. It's a long article. Again, strongly, strongly encourage you to read the article in its entirety. And I will tell you, there's going to be an awful lot of states watching this very, very carefully. I, for one, have actually been contemplating thinking, gee, community broadband in my new neighborhood would actually be a pretty good thing. So now, community broadband brings a lot of baggage. And from a legislative or a commercial point of view, doesn't really matter in this case, it's competition. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to go fishing with Kurt first and say, hey, you've been talking to a lot of other analysts and you've been talking to the folks in the C-suite. Have you heard any kind of words of pro or con on community broadband from those arenas?
Well, let's look first at who would be impacted by community broadband. And by and large, this is not going to be something that has an impact on companies. Companies or organizations that, by and large, have the money to pull their own cable, arrange for their own broadband service. Now, what does end up being impacted are their customers, especially their customers who may be in lower income and underserved areas. Now, those areas, those customers can get the companies involved because the companies find that it is in their best interest to have customers with better broadband. When it comes to that broadband, the companies really don't care where it comes from, and they're completely happy to have it come from a municipality or a county government or some other unit of government. I think the place that this is really hitting home are those places, as Brian said, that are not unserved, but are marginally served. There are companies out there, tend to be smaller companies, although they can be branches of larger companies, that provide really borderline broadband service. They're the ones who especially don't want any competition from government because they know that the step from bad broadband to good broadband can be bigger and more expensive than the step from no broadband to bad broadband. And I think what we're going to have is this fight between the municipalities that want to provide their citizens with genuine broadband and those companies who want to provide them with something less for the same money as real broadband.
Oh, this is actually a case when I absolutely love our chat room. Scooter X mentioned that municipal broadband is restricted in 18 states across the U.S. as of 2021. And that's an article from broadbandnow.com /municipal-broadband-roadblocks. Now, broadband is one of those things that needs a definition. And sadly, the previous administration set very, very low standards. And this is one of the reasons why I'm actually more than a little excited about the FTC chairman coming in, because she's sharpening her pencil. And I think she's going to set higher limits. Now, she's not exactly super tech friendly, but I think more than likely she's going to be holding some people's feet to the fire. Now, one of our founding member, Robert Padre Ballaser, had some really, really interesting comments back when we had one of the broadband folks talk about doing fiber optic in certain areas of San Francisco. And his comments were really and truly about how the competition made a massive, massive difference in the incumbents getting their act together. This is going to be interesting, especially as the Biden administration opens the purse strings to get a lot of broadband, which is technically community broadband, into native reservations where they have been typically underserved. So, Mr. Liu, you were in the Seattle area, and there was some community broadband, or at least some noise about it. I wish we had Mo here, because there's definitely a lot of community broadband in Texas. But what have you heard? You're now in the east, up northeast, and you got lucky with having Fios. But what else have you been starting to hear? Is your new area pro or against community broadband?
Yeah, that's a good question. In the Seattle area, they had a lot of community broadband. In fact, the Issaquah Highlands was one of the ones that was closest to me. Issaquah Highlands is a little town of Issaquah, has a community called the Highlands, and all of the homes there have its own broadband. They had set it up. They basically trunked it off the CenturyLink fiber lines and have it available to all the homes there. And it's fantastic. It's $30 a month. It's in your HOA. It's available for all communities, especially when people were working from home. It was amazing. A network, it doesn't cost that much for them to run. And again, even area that I used to live, they were trying to get that set up and as well. Now, this interesting about this article is the fact that they believe that 10 megabit per second is being served as broadband. And I don't know about you, if you ever looked at the stats of your Skype calls or Zoom calls or your or even just your, you know, remote desktop session, that's not going to cut it. No matter what you can say, you know, whether how much you compress your data, you're never going to be able to use 10 megabit, even if it's up or down, to be able to do all of that. So this is just a very interesting, I'm hoping that there'll be some, some additional corporations and companies like KeyBank and other large organizations, Prudential, in the Ohio area that push back on this. But in the same sense, where I live, there actually is a very small amount of monopoly here, actually. We have Fios, we have Cox, we have a couple other smaller broadband or companies. So we don't have this problem of having to deal with or have even set up municipal broadband. But in the same sense, I'm hoping that some of these law restrictions around it go away. So we'll see hopefully in the near future.
Actually, one of the things that I was actually looking for, and I can't find it right now. I literally just got spammed on my Facebook feed for a company that says, hey, if you're an HOA or an apartment or something like that, talk to us because we want to do community broadband just for you. That is an interesting and really telling set of spam. And realistically, more and more neighborhoods are going for what's called undergrounding, where the power carriers are saying, we'd rather be underground than on poles. And one of the big questions that come up is, what's going to happen to the poles? You know, what if there are other people on it? And I'm just wondering out loud. I don't know for a fact, but gee, wouldn't it be cool if the community took possession of those poles and ran their own? Makes you want to go, Anyway, this is an interesting story, and it's going to keep going. And especially when there's both pro and con on the Terragraph wireless protocol. But at 60 gigahertz, which is unlicensed, by the way, I work with Siklu, but there's others coming out. 60 gigahertz in a 360-degree sector panel. If I can get a gig feed or better from a MPLS metro ring and feed that in through, say, a firewall, and then we can go and provide, 60-plus homes. So one feed, and I could feed the entire subdivision that I'm in. Kind of interesting. Now, some of the folks in the chat room are talking about, they do Wi-Fi in townhouses and it's terrible. Yeah, I agree, because a lot of the people that are doing HOA-based shared internet don't know what they're doing. They're trying to do it with 2.4 and 5.8 gigahertz, and they're trying to do it as cheaply as possible. My suggestion really is there's an awful lot of other ways of doing it. There's some really nice fiber where you literally glue it up into where the wall and the ceiling meet, and it gets hidden, and you can paint it. 60 gigahertz is a great way to get in between buildings, and then run copper or fiber within the places. There's a lot of wireless internet service providers that would like to do this and would love to be able to start up. But when you have legislation like this putting in yet more barriers, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, I'm ranting. This is definitely a Chiebert soapbox. I firmly believe in community broadband, and I think the internet service providers need the competition. Here's hoping that people call their Congress critters and local legislators and express your opinion, because in the end, you voted them into office. Now you need to go and start really and truly getting off your behind, making your opinion known, because your vote does count,